This podcast is designed to help you understand the laws of our land. I am your host, Hattie Savari, and here to help you every step of the way, whether you are a tenant, landlord, parent, child, employee, employer, neighbour or business owner, and we are all most certainly consumers. The law is in your life every single day with over 180 episodes and 5 million downloads. Get ready to listen and empower yourself with tons of jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Hello and welcome back to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. Our legal conversation today will be on jury service during the pandemic. I am joined by a service manager at HMCTS, Esther Franklin Smith. Esther has worked in the justice system in various roles for the past 23 years, and she is currently responsible for delivering better services for customers using the criminal courts. One of her key roles is to lead improvement activity, and Esther works closely with colleagues from across Ministry of Justice, HMCTS, and the criminal justice system to improve the juror experience and journey. This covers everything from the initial juror summoning letter to the end of the trial, and everything in between. Esther, thank you very much for joining me today.
Hi, Hattie. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to come and talk to you today.
It's an absolute pleasure. So we're going to be talking about jury service during the pandemic. So jury trials are held in criminal courts and some very rare occasions in civil cases as well. And they are held in the Crown Court. Anyone aged between 18 and 75 can be called to sit as a juror in a trial. And traditionally, 12 people sit as the jury in a trial and are known as the jurors. Jurors are a very important part of our judicial system because it is the jury that will decide whether a defendant is guilty or not guilty. So, Esther, can you please explain how the summoning system works and how some people are called more than once to serve as a jury, yet others are seemingly never summoned?
Absolutely. I mean, firstly, you have to be eligible for jury service. And like you touched on, there is age limits that are relevant. Our current legislation directs that you must be aged 18 or older or under the age of 76 to serve. You have to be registered on your local government's electoral register and also a resident within the UK. The selection process for a juror panel is entirely random. If you receive a jury summons through the post calling you for service, this is because you've been chosen randomly from the electoral voting register, those that are provided to us from the local authorities. As well as that random process, there's a secondary process that jurors go through for random selection. And this is on attendance at the court. And to form that panel of 12, there is another random process where a name is chosen that goes to sit on a trial. If your name isn't chosen on that particular trial, then you go back in a pool and you get randomly selected again. So there's quite a few different steps of random selection. As with any random system, it's absolutely inevitable that some people will be summoned more than once. It's a bit like the lottery, while others will never be called at all.
Well, can I just say, I think you have to be really lucky then to be randomly selected on the electoral roll. Then you get to court to the secondary process and there's another random selection there. I mean, I would feel really special. I have to say, that's extraordinary. I actually thought, honestly, as a layperson, I actually thought there must be a way and lists of people that perhaps list their occupation, their age, their ethnicity, you know, their education, and perhaps they go through people who have had certain life experiences to a certain extent to be able to select. So I think it's extraordinary that it's really a random selection of anyone between the age of 18 and 75, starting with the electoral register.
That's absolutely right. And the Jury Central Summoning Bureau, who do the initial selection from those local authority registers, have no information about individuals at all other than their age. So absolutely anybody can be called. And like you say, there's that secondary process where you go to the court to form that panel of 12 jurors. You may get to the court and actually still never actually be chosen to sit on a trial at all. So it is random from start to finish. Those jurors that are lucky or unlucky to be summoned more than once within, I think it is a 2-year period, do have the right to ask to be excused. Of course, we don't expect people to be, summoned over and over again. Although some people do really enjoy the experience and are quite happy to come along more than once.
Great. I mean, I get it. I totally get it. I have to say, I've always said, and in my previous podcast as well, I love the courtroom. I find the nostalgia of the courtroom amazing and a great experience. But let's talk about the importance of jury trials during the pandemic. I mean, and the reason that jury trials are still going ahead in the pandemic. And I know that's must have been really, really difficult for HMCTS to organise with all of the restrictions in place. Can you tell us a bit about that, please?
Of course. I mean, as you just said, the pandemic has presented some unprecedented challenges for the criminal justice system. But the work of the courts and the tribunals keeps people safe. It protects those vulnerable people and it supports that rule of law. And trial by jury is absolutely one of the most fundamental parts of that work. And it sits right at the heart of our criminal justice system. So jurors are especially important to that process. You may be aware that our jury trials were temporarily suspended because of the pandemic back on the 23rd of March last year.
Yes.
But we resumed them through a huge amount of close work with judiciary, representatives of groups across other establishments that work in our buildings to successfully start jury trials again in May. And that was working very closely to meet clear standards that were approved by Public Health England and Wales, completing risk assessments that are constantly under review. And I think most positively out of all of this, considering how nervous jurors have been or could be considering coming to court in this time, we have received the most amazing feedback. Really positive, encouraging feedback from jurors who have confirmed they feel safe, they were happy with the process. And that's really encouraging through what we're all experiencing in such a difficult time.
Well, look, I mean, I think there's absolutely no doubt that the level of work that HMCTS had to pull out of the bag, let's not forget that the first lockdown was the 23rd of March. So when you're talking about jury trials were started to commence again in May, that's only a matter of weeks. And you can't deny that, for a judicial system to pull itself together to even open its doors to its courts to be able to hold jury trials, lots and lots of work and organisation has to go into that. I mean, there's some countries in Europe which have had their courts completely and utterly closed for long periods of time. So, I have to say, yes, it might not be to the level that some people wish to have seen it be up and running again. But lots of work would have gone into it. There's no doubt. I mean, there's been a lot in the press recently about the backlog of cases in criminal courts and the length of time it's taking for some cases to actually get to court. In January this year, for example, The Guardian reported that the number of ongoing cases in the Crown Courts was 44% higher in December 2020 compared to February 2020, and that the latest figures show some 53,000 cases are waiting to come before the Crown Courts. Some of these cases have already been scheduled for 2022. Can you tell us, Esther, how important are jurors to the recovery efforts in the justice system and to reducing the backlog? And I'd like to know, what's the connection there between jurors and the backlog in the court system due to the pandemic?
Well, jurors are absolutely essential to any Crown Court trial. As you said at the very start, they are responsible for deciding the result as such. The crime recovery work is moving at such pace. There is so much going on in that area. If I can, kind of pull out some stats on jury trials, it is so vital that we have jurors to administer justice. As of the end of the 21st of February week, over 7,450 jury trials have been listed since they resumed last year. And that's an astronomical amount, considering, as you said earlier, the considerations, the safety measures, and all the work that's had to go on to make that actually happen. You know, that's absolutely unprecedented. You touched earlier on, you know, we are one of the first among comparable jurisdictions globally to resume jury trials. Our Crown Courts list thousands and thousands of cases each week, from the 4th of January to the 21st of Feb. We listed an average of 309 jury trials per week.
I mean, I have to say, you know, we're talking about Nightingale court systems here. We're talking about a massive, massive structural organisation effort here by HMCTS. And I said it already once before in this podcast, but regardless of people saying there needs to be more, that, you know, we need to move faster. That effort alone, you know, to get thousands of trials listed up to the week commencing 21st of February, and then you're talking about 309 trials listed earlier on just now. It's a huge effort that's being delivered.
Yeah, and if we think about Nightingale Courts, by the end of March, we'd open 60 Nightingale courtrooms to enable more crime work to be carried out. So expanding our estate, we've done extra measures too to make sure that the safety of our court users are priority, for example, using plexiglass screens in over 450 courtrooms and jury deliberation rooms so that we can ensure that separation. We've used porta cabin buildings in a number of our courts so that we've got extra space for jurors to deliberate in or for jury assembling and management. So jurors are absolutely a key part in the whole of the crime recovery scene.
Yes, I mean, you know, a huge, huge operation going on there in the background. And let's not forget that HMCTS staff, lots of them are largely also still working from home or have had to work from home. So I say it again, it's a huge effort that is being delivered. And I think people have to sit down and just commend that a little bit rather than perhaps focus on the fact that not enough is being delivered, because we can always say not enough is being done in lots of areas, really. Of life. Okay, so let's talk about jury service and COVID-19 in this sense. Has HMCTS recorded, or are you aware of, the number of jurors who have contracted coronavirus whilst on a jury service?
Yeah, we have a response and recovery team within HMCTS, and they are made up of expert staff who closely monitor the volume of suspected incidents or confirmed cases of COVID-19. They work very closely as well with any site that may have been affected, providing real comprehensive advice and support as needed. Since August 2020 and March of this year, there have been 92 confirmed positive test results for COVID-19 reported amongst our jurors, and that's across our estate. We can't make any assumption, of course, that those confirmed cases indicate there's been a transmission within the court building, and not all of these cases relate to the same empaneled jury. And if I can add some context to that number of 92 confirmed cases, within that time frame, we've transferred over 136,000 jurors to the courts.
Well, let's just think about that for a second, because that's actually really key, isn't it? I mean, first of all, and I was going to say that actually when I was asking you that question, you cannot assume that a juror has contracted COVID while on jury service, because they travel to and from home, they have their members of family at home, and they are exposed to many other elements other than the courtroom as a jury service. But when you take 92, and that's the magic number I was waiting for from you, what 92 of what larger number? 132,000, you're talking...
It's even bigger.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. It's a fraction. It's such a small fraction of people that have actually contracted coronavirus whilst being a juror on jury service, because we certainly can't say it's because they were on jury service. I mean, it might be, but you can't categorically state that. That's very, very interesting. Mm. No, great. Okay, so let's now come to individuals who receive a summons for jury service. if you do receive a summons, does a juror, or they're not a juror yet, but does somebody have an option to decline or to defer, particularly if they fall into a high risk category?
Yeah, we completely accept and understand that some jurors are not going to be able to do jury service on the dates in their summons. We have processes in place for pre-COVID, of course. So jurors can ask if they wish to change the date of their jury service to another date within the next 12 months. We call this deferral. Jurors obviously need to provide a reason for deferral, and such examples can be because, of course, they're key workers, or because they're extremely vulnerable, like you said, and fall into a high-risk category. If it's not possible for the juror, prospective juror, to do the service within 12 months, they can ask to be excused. Each request for excusal will be dealt with on a case-by-case basis, and it is important to know that, you know, those are only granted in exceptional circumstances, because being a juror is an important part of our civic duty. But, you know, requests to be excused, requests to defer, these can be made depending on individual circumstances. And the juror can do that by responding to their summons and do that either online, if that's easier, or by post. But again, just going back to the high-risk category that you mentioned, we, of course, are advising any of our court users, and jurors included, not to come to our court buildings if there are any coronavirus symptoms or self-isolating or clinically vulnerable. And anyone who feels uncomfortable about that should get in touch.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, there's some very key things to consider here, because we are talking about jury service during, you know, this pandemic. And, you know, if you have a serious illness or a disability that prevents you from doing jury service, or if you're a full-time carer to somebody who has an illness or a disability, or a key worker. And I think, you know, one of the key things that you said is everybody is dealt with on a case-by-case basis. And I think the most important thing here, if you have received a summons for jury service, is to communicate with the court promptly, quickly. And, you know, I'm sure the court and the system is there to listen and to try and assist in every way that they can. I know that, you know, I've heard in the past that people have grumbled about having to do jury service and things like that. And at the moment, people do have concerns about, you know, the virus and safety measures and things like that. But as a juror, what can they expect if they come to court? Who will they come into contact with, and what safety measures are in place to protect people? I mean, I know you've mentioned already 450 flexiglass screens have been put up. We've already spoken about, actually also in previous podcasts, how jurors are spread out to allow for the space to be there. You've spoken about the porter cabins that are in place. Talk to us about the life of a juror when they turn up to court, please, Esther.
Yeah, the first person you'll be a juror would be greeted with, or any court you for that matter, would be our court security officers. So on turning up at the court, that will be the first person. Our court security officers at the moment are asking a range of routine questions to confirm that you know, our visitors have not tested positive, haven't been asked to isolate, or are experiencing any coronavirus symptoms. You know, if all is well and, you know, our users could come in the building, the next person the juror would meet would be our jury officers, our jury bailiffs. And they are there to manage the process for the jurors, and they're there to be on call for questions if our jurors are feeling a little bit vulnerable or concerned about the process. We have things like induction videos and speeches that cover the safety aspects within the court. And all of that is dealt with in a room with the jurors, the whole of the pool of jurors. And there's that option and opportunity to have that one-on-one question answer time with an experienced member of HMCTS. If there are any concerns or any special arrangements that a particular juror would like. So there's that comforting element there of supporting the jurors throughout the process.
Yes, I guess people could ask questions like, will my face covering and hand sanitizers be provided to me? Do Do I have to take them in? What about lunchtime arrangements? If the cafes and at the moment, you know, the cafes nearby are closed, or the cafes in courts, are they still open to provide refreshments and travel options? If I'm concerned about getting on public transport, if you know, many city centres have courts with no parking available nearby, with high daily rates, will parking expenses be covered by the court? I think they're the kind of other general questions that people could ask.
They are, and they're all questions that we have covered in that one-to-one conversation, or that environment where, you know, it is possible to ask those questions. The courts are providing hand sanitizers, and we encourage all of our court users to use them. We advise people to bring face masks with them, but we can still provide face masks if required. We advise, like you say, about lunchtime arrangements. You know, many cafes are outside of the building, and jurors can claim a daily allowance towards the cost of any refreshments. And it's worth noting as well around the car parking. We've relaxed our usual restrictions on parking for now. And at this time, we're reimbursing parking charges in full, because we completely accept that some jurors much prefer to travel in their own vehicle at this time.
Yes.
We've also covered congestion charges as well, so that we're reimbursing jurors for that. So we're making it as easy as possible for the jurors to get in, and of course reimbursing for those as well.
Yeah, excellent. No, I get it. I mean, will there be any mandatory testing of jurors before and during trial to make sure that nobody is spreading the virus, even if they don't have symptoms? Is that likely to be introduced?
No, that's not something that we can mandate. We know it's not compulsory, but we are encouraging all of our courts and tribunal users to take part in community testing programs where they're available locally. We also have in some of our courts on-site rapid testing available to some court users, and we are piloting the use of home testing kits for all court users, including jurors, which are available to collect on site at some of our buildings as well. But we can't mandate the testing.
No, I mean, I have to say, these fast testing, non-systematic fast testing centres, I think have been an absolute dream. To be able to walk in to get a test for free, that you get a text message, you know, to say whether you're positive or negative within 30 minutes. We as a family had to use it, actually. I think it's brilliant. I really, really do. I think that's been a big game changer. And I'm really pleased that they exist, because only 6 months ago, you know, you had to go and pay for a private test, or you had to go, which would give you a result quicker, or you had to go and queue up in a car park, which is what the NHS did have scheduled, but then it could take up to a week to get the results. But no, I think that's the rapid testing centres are great in that sense. And home testing kits, I think, which are likely to become available sooner rather than later, also another great move forward. Okay, so our last area of discussion. What happens if there is an outbreak of the virus in the court while someone's on jury service? Does it mean that the trial automatically will be halted?
Not necessarily. Each of our Crown Courts has met really clear standards and criteria that have been provided by public health bodies before we can hold jury trials. We are constantly monitoring and reviewing our guidance, our practices, to ensure that we're complying with the latest public health advice. Because we've put all of these ranges of special arrangements in place to allow the appropriate social distancing to be maintained at all times, all of these actions are keeping our court users and our jurors safe. If a positive test is identified, we have processes and procedures in place, and we communicate incidents locally to keep our court users safe. Each situation is looked at on an individual basis. I touched earlier on that we have a response and recovery team specific within HMCTS to deal with any issues like this. You asked about whether the trial will be halted. That is absolutely and always will be a decision that is ultimately down to the trial judge. But as I say, each situation is looked at on a case-by-case assessment to see what the best action is to be taken.
And that makes, you know, that makes complete sense to me, because it is on a case-by-case basis that we have to review the situation when you hear somebody, you know, has got coronavirus in that kind of environment. It could be you know, in all sorts of ways and sizes and shapes, and therefore it can't be that one size will fit all. Esther, you've been my dream guest.
Thank you very much.
It's been a great pleasure to record with you today. Thank you so, so much for your time.
Thank you.
What I'll say to our listeners is don't forget to click and subscribe to our podcasts, and you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn and YouTube by searching Get Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you for listening.